Today, Weinstein's rape conviction is overturned.
The Supreme Court leans towards partial presidential immunity.
Spain's Prime Minister reflects on his future.
And how a London pub has become the place for Swifties.
It's Friday, April 26th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Tara Oakes in Liverpool.
And I'm Carmel Crimmins in Dublin.
This today is an act of institutional betrayal. This is what it's like to be a woman in America, living with male entitlement to our bodies.
Actress Ashley Judd there reacting to news that Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction has been overturned. New York's top court deciding the trial judge made a critical mistake by letting women testify against a Hollywood producer, even though they were not included in the charges he faced. The appeals court appearing bitterly divided in its 4-3 ruling. It's a stunning reversal of a 2020 prosecution that fueled the Me Too movement. But the disgraced film producer is not expected to be freed immediately. He has also been sentenced to a 16-year prison term out of California. It's now up to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office to decide whether to retry the case. Alvin Bragg's office initially signalling it did plan to prosecute again.
Is there anything about Harvey Weinstein's condition being overturned?
Manhattan DA Bragg, of course, is in the middle of another high-profile case. Donald Trump's hush money trial. National Enquirer publisher David Pecker again taking the stand. He says he wrangled with Trump and lawyer Michael Cohen over who should pay women to buy their silence over sexual encounters with the former president. Trump denies the affairs and has pleaded not guilty to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records.
On his way to court on Thursday, however, the former president appeared to be focusing on another legal matter.
If you don't have immunity, you're not going to do anything. You're going to become a ceremonial president.
Trump is asking the Supreme Court to shield him from prosecution over charges that he tried to overturn the election. In oral arguments, justices appeared to lean towards some level of immunity. Scott Malone is our politics editor. So, Scott, the question at the center of Thursday's arguments was really, what constitutes an official act, right?
The special counsel Jack Smith's team argued that Trump's attempts to recruit fake electors to challenge the results of his 2020 election defeat was a political act and not an official act of his duties, and therefore, you know, not subject to this immunity standard that Trump was putting forth. Trump's team did say that his actions were part of his official duties.
And a lot of the arguments hinged on hypotheticals, right? Spinning forward worst case scenarios for too much or too little immunity. How did each side handle that?
Yeah, so from the more liberal side of the bench, justices were looking at what they probably posited as misuses of power. Justice Lana Kagan asked, what if a president were to order the military to stage a coup?
And you're saying that's an official act?
I think it would depend.
That's immune.
I think it would depend on the circumstances.
And Trump's lawyers kind of stood by their principle.
If it's an official act, there needs to be impeachment and conviction beforehand.
Is it an official act?
If it's an official act, it's impeachment.
Is it an official act?
On the way you've described that hypothetical, it could well be.
The conservative justices asked how possible it would be for presidents to do their jobs if they knew that after leaving office, they could face criminal prosecution.
So what happens now?
So typically the court issues its decisions in major cases in June and often at the end of June. If they rule then, that would start the clock ticking on 90 days, 3 months, until a Trump trial could start. However, that's really, for Jack Smith, the best case scenario. It's also possible that they send elements of these decisions back to the lower courts to rethink. That would add in more time. And that really raises the question of whether the federal election subversion case against Trump could even go to trial, let alone have a trial resolve before November 5th.
Indians are voting in the second phase of the world's biggest election. Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his rival Rahul Gandhi are honing in on hot-button issues. For full coverage of this mammoth democratic exercise, follow along on the Reuters Live page. In the US, pro-Palestinian student protests show no sign of slowing down.
And now to see the main commencement go is just a big shock, really.
University of Southern California student Juan Pablo Wilson on the decision to cancel the main stage graduation ceremony. USC cited safety concerns for the decision, which comes a week after it cancelled the valedictorian speech by a Muslim student.
We're monitoring spillovers, and I wouldn't take anything off the table as a response.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen keeping the pressure on China over its industrial policy. In an interview at Reuters' DC bureau, she also said there was a range of options to help Ukraine using frozen Russian assets.
Outright seizure of the assets is something that's justifiable, but that's not the only possibility.
Reuters editor-in-chief Alessandra Galloni interviewed Yellen. Alessandra, the Treasury Secretary is in favor of seizing Russian assets, but in reality, we might get something less drastic, right?
The U.S. government has always been in favor of an outright seizure of Russian assets, but that idea has met with strong resistance in Europe. So instead, Secretary Yellen suggested that a U.S. proposal for using the interest derived from $300 billion in frozen assets was a likely compromise solution. So it looks now like they will hammer out details at a finance minister meeting in May and bring that option to the G7 meeting in Italy in June.
Ever start your weekend wondering if you really want to go back to work on Monday? Well, in Spain, that's exactly what Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is planning to do. He's suspended his public duties while he decides whether to continue leading the government. It's all happening while a court probes corruption allegations against his wife. Aislinn Lang is in Madrid. So Aislinn, why is Sanchez taking this break?
Well, Pedro Sanchez is a notorious political gambler and once again has just taken everybody completely by surprise with this one. Last year, after a poor showing in regional elections, he suddenly called a snap election in the middle of the summer holidays. Now he's announced that he's taking this break because of an increasingly febrile and nasty political climate. He says it came on the same day that a Spanish judge announced that he would look at allegations that Sanchez's wife, Begoña Gómez, had been responsible for influence peddling and business corruption. We should say that Manos Limpias, the activist group behind the claim, has links to the far right, routinely targets primarily left-wing figures, and rarely do its complaints actually result in any kind of conviction. However, not solely the case. There have been some cases that have followed their complaints.
What's the reaction been like in Spain?
Well, I mean, Spain is very polarized along left and right, and people we're speaking to on the streets kind of feel very much one way or the other. They feel sympathetic. They do hate this political mudslinging. Meanwhile, the opposition is saying this move of Sanchez is ridiculous and that if he doesn't want to be the prime minister, then he should just simply step down.
And what happens next if he stays or if he goes?
So there are various scenarios. He could come back and say that he hopes everybody has had time to think. He could come back and say that he personally would like to step down and the socialists will offer up another candidate to be sworn in as the prime minister. That would have to be approved within Congress. He could ask for a vote of confidence in his leadership. That, commentators we're speaking to believe is likely to be effective, because his minority government relies on a patchwork of smaller parties to support it. Or he could resign and say that he believes the country should go to new elections. Because he did that once already this year, he will have to wait until June to announce those elections. With Sanchez, he's such a master of surprises, there may well be something else up his sleeve.
Now to a corner of southwest London and an unusually busy pub.
Suddenly, just see the black dog being mentioned, people started to contact me. And then obviously it was just 1 to 100.
Lily Bottomley works at the Black Dog, which just happens to be the title of track 17 on Taylor Swift's new album.
We're a very cosy, small neighbourhood pub. So something like this happening is a dream. You know, it's something that money can't buy.
Fans have been flocking to the pub, which Swift is said to have visited. Extra staff have been drafted in to cope.
how I imagine a pub is a pub where drunk old men go watch rugby, and this doesn't look like it, which I appreciate, but also makes sense that Taylor would go to a pub like this.
And the Black Dog is cashing in on the likes of Amelia turning up, creating a Swift burger and making Taylor's version cocktails.
That's your Friday update. We'll be back Monday with the latest from around the world. Stay tuned over the weekend for a special episode looking at the race in the US to acquire farmland for solar energy. And before we go, we have a quick favor to ask. We want your feedback. We'd love it if you could fill out a 5-minute survey. There's a link in the description to today's pod. And remember, to make sure you never miss any of our episodes, click subscribe on your favorite podcast player.